Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a weekend that was not exactly what we expected, was it? Oh, things, they changed so quick. I feel lied to, but I'm also very grateful. I mean, this could have been a lot worse. Last Monday, I was freaking out. I will be saying that. I was just a little, not scared. I'm not scared of a storm. But I was concerned because, but you know, it's the truth. Today was supposed to be my wedding day. Mm-hmm. That's what we were all set and ready to go. And now we ratcheted back. We kicked it back 2 weeks for the simple reason. We had, one, no idea where this storm was going to go. So it was they were saying it was going to plow right into us, which is not good because we were going to be outside and inside. And the other thing was, we have a lot of people that were going to be traveling, and we didn't want them traveling in this weather. So, yeah, for those of you who thought you were tuning in to hear me exchange vows with my lovely lady today, we put it off to 2 weeks. The 29th, right here, we will be exchanging vows. And it's great, though. You know, Piedmont Smokehouse, our caterer, he was able to, you know, push us back a couple of weeks. My friend, Miss Kathy Elrod, who's going to make our cake, she was able to push it back 2 weeks. The people that are hosting us, they were able to push it back 2 weeks. So, you know, all in all, it's fine. And then, you know, we're leaving a couple of days after the wedding for the honeymoon. So there you go. That's what happened, you know. But it was better than safe than sorry. And that's what I'm hoping a lot of people are understanding. This was a nasty, or I should say, is a nasty storm. And our brothers and sisters to the south are just getting pummeled. And, I mean, I have family down there. My sister just moved to Raleigh like a month and a half ago. And this is what she's going to go through in her brand new home. She was struggling to find water last Monday. There was no, but here again in Richmond, Monday, Tuesday, I was seeing all over social media, can't find a water anywhere, is all gone. So what happened here, we all know that. We dodged the bullet just like Neo in The Matrix, but there's going to be a lot of help needed down south, and I'm hoping we can talk about some ways that we can help them, ways we can prepare for the storm, for the next one. Because there's still two more storms out in the Atlantic, as far as I understand it. And hurricane season doesn't end until November. So, yeah, you see what I'm saying? Really, really, I'm not putting anything away anytime soon. I just want to keep myself in check. By the way, I don't know about you, but last night I lost power. Right. You know, right. There's no wind, no rain. Lost power in the East End, and it wasn't just my neighborhood. It was Rockets Landing, too. So let me just, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to have some people calling in to tell us what's going on down south. We got some people from ABC Radio that are on the scene. We're going to talk about that. We're going to be talking about ways that we can help it actually get where it needs to go. This show might sound a lot like the early show, but that's okay. This is a rare situation. Hopefully it is a rare situation. We'll talk about things we can do around the house and things I did. I don't know about you, but things I had to do, like I said, lost power. It went out for last night. We were out with like 6 hours, which is not long compared to what would happen if we had a hurricane, but still it was inconvenient. And I don't know if I was quite as prepared as I needed to be, but, I was close. It wasn't awful. So, there you go. So 345-1140 is the phone number. If you want to call in, tell me what's going on in your world, how you dealt with what we did get, if you're preparing for something else down the road, or if you just have a home improvement question, query, conundrum, or riddle. But I think first, Jordan, are we connected? Okay, well, then let's go ahead and hit that. I am joined by Jim Ryan from ABC Radio down in Wilmington. Hey, Jim, how are you today?
Morning, Rich. Yeah, they're still getting plenty of rain here. A lot of it, though, has moved down to the south and to the west of here as Hurricane Florence, now Tropical Storm Florence, continues to weaken, but it's still weakening the tree roots. It's got enough wind that it's blowing those trees down into power lines, and so the number of power outages continues to rise across North and South Carolina. It's just under 1 million homes and businesses without electricity this morning.
So that's gone up by 500,000 since I woke up this morning.
Yeah, it continues to rise, and it will continue for the next several days, Rich.
Now, how many people did decide just to stay put and now are being rescued, or did most people just get out?
Well, probably most of them did get out, but you're still looking at areas up to the northeast of your Onslow County where hundreds of rescues have gone on and where hundreds more people may be stranded. But just getting out to them is difficult because roads are flooded, there is debris in the way, trees are knocked over, and it's difficult just to get to those people in the first place, Richard.
Now, I've been hearing a lot of things about stranded pets. Have you seen anything about that so far while you've been down there?
Yeah, it's an issue. The pets that are being rescued out there, but also then people in shelters are having to find places that accommodate pets. Not all of them do, so people with animals are having some difficulty added on to what the flooding already has brought to them.
Now, this is going to continue to flood for at least the next 24 hours, maybe a little bit longer. How long are they thinking it's going to take before the water recedes?
Once the rain finally subsides on Monday, maybe Tuesday, the water should start to drop down pretty rapidly. So I would think by next Wednesday, maybe next Thursday, we should see some kind of relief to this whole thing. But in the meantime, there's still a lot of misery to come, a lot of power outages, a lot of people just left stuck where they are.
I was talking to a representative of the Cajun Navy earlier today. Have you seen any of those guys and women down there in their flatboats?
I know that they're up there at work in the northeast part of the state and in South Carolina. They're out helping with those rescue operations in Onslow County. They've also called in the Marines. The Marines there at Camp Lejeune have amphibious vehicles, and they're helping out with some of the rescues too, Richard.
Any idea how people like in Virginia, I mean, we totally dodged the bullet like Neo in the Matrix. Any idea what people up here can do to help our brothers and sisters down south?
Well, yes. You know, there are agencies that do this all the time. They're responding to disasters every day, things that we don't normally hear about, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army. They have methods in place to take donations. No point in boxing up a bunch of canned foods or bundling up blankets and sending them down this way. Those monetary donations are the best way, most efficient way to get help to where it's needed, Richard.
And, Jim, I got to ask, what's it feel like being in the middle of a storm like this? I mean, it's been years for me, and you're right in the heart of it.
Yeah, well, it was pretty dramatic yesterday before the storm made landfall at 8 in the morning. The wind picked up to an extreme. The rain was being blown across this area, and you could tell that it was just about onshore. And when it did finally hit at 8 o'clock, it suddenly quieted down. We were almost in the eye of the storm here at Wilmington.
Wow. And they're expecting, what, 30 to 40 inches of rain?
In parts of the state, absolutely, and inland as well. This is going to be a problem for several days to come, Rich.
Oh, yeah, I have family in Raleigh and in Charlotte. It's going to be great. Jim Ryan from ABC Radio, I appreciate you calling in. I know you're busy, and it's been great information for me. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
And in the storm. I don't know if I'd want to do that. Jordan, would you put yourself out there just for your job here on radio?
It would depend how much they're willing to pay me.
I want to ride in that that CBS Storm Rider 6. Have you seen that truck?
No, but I've heard about it.
It's a mobile studio. It's the coolest thing in the world. I watched this. It, you know, they're in the front seat doing all the video and everything like that. And if you look right behind them in the back seat, here's a guy. He's got a desk built into it, and he's just chopping audio and video right there and sending it off. Very sweet.
I love it.
There you go. 345-1140 is the phone number. Give me a call. Tell me what's going on with you when we get back. I'll tell you what we did to prepare for the storm. I honestly believe I might have made this storm, well, my brother-in-law may have made this storm miss us. It's entirely possible. I'll explain more when we get back. My name is Richard McCann. This is the Home Show on News Radio, WRVA 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. Richard McCann on News Radio, WRVA. Hoping you're all very well. And if you have family in the storm, prayers and hearts go out to them. I have, like I said, I have a sister and her family's down in Raleigh. And I have more family. My best friend and his girls are down in Charlotte. I haven't heard anything from either one of them yet. I'm taking that as a good sign. You know, I just saw a goofy little note from one of them saying, wow, even Hurricane Florence will avoid Charlotte traffic. So, you know, it is wrapping around the state, and it's going to go through. I mean, think about it. This is what's going to be affected. North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, parts of Kentucky, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. I mean, think about it. Pennsylvania has been having flooding all season. They really don't need any more water there. So what can we do to help? Well, there's a couple of different things. First and foremost, though, I want to say, just as you heard Jim say, just as I said during the earlier show, do not start going through your house saying, well, what can I do? What can I send to help? You know, I'm glad you have extra blankets and, you know, a sweater that you don't wear anymore, maybe an old pair of tennis shoes, but that's not going to help the people down there that are being affected by this storm. There's plenty of documentation of where people with their hearts in the right place. Let's not forget that. Their hearts are in the right place. They see somebody in need. They want to help. But by sending all that stuff with no idea where it's going to go or where it's going to end up, all you really end up doing is creating bottlenecks for the stuff that really is needed by these people. I mean, go back and look at, you know, there's been documented, like there was a school shooting some years back, very sad situation. People, their hearts went out to these families, so they started sending stuffed animals. And there was like 20,000 of them or some ridiculous amount. They ended up in a pile rotting away. You know, people say, oh, we need water. Let's get water. You know, who needs the water? Where's the water going to go? These are things I want you to ask yourself. So, and I've done this a couple of times now. Here's what I want you to think about. One, if you want to buy stuff, you know, you want to buy water or canned goods or food or whatever that is, I want you to ask yourself, where are you going to take it and who's going to be delivering it? Find a group that is linked to something that can get this to where it needs to go. Like I said, years ago, I think it was during Katrina. I think it was Katrina. You know, I stood out behind the diamond with a bunch of members of the city council, and we collect water, toilet paper, and paper towels. That's what we collected. I don't know where it went, but that's what we did. But it was a central focus point, and that's what they needed. Now, if you watch the news, you read the internet, or anything like that about the Salvation Army and the Red Cross, these are two groups that have been doing this for a very, very long time. Daily, as you heard Jim say, daily. They're helping somebody in some crisis. Donating money to them is absolutely the best way to help out. And it's because they've been doing this a long time. They're doing it every day. They have the supplies already in stock. Or, as I've talked to a couple of them, they say, you know, we have the suppliers so that we can call somebody and boom, we have what we need quickly. These are also groups that are doing research and on where this stuff needs to go. They were saying yesterday on the news that the Red Cross here in Richmond is getting ready to send people down into North and South Carolina to figure out what the situation is. Where's the greater need? How many people are in this area and that area? What they need so that they can organize and schedule everything to get where it needs to be. So at the end of the day, I know you want to help. You know, we all donate clothes and shoes into those big yellow boxes that are all over Richmond. I know I've done it. I know I've dropped all kinds of T-shirts in there. Why people want to give me a double extra large T-shirt, I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I understand I'm carrying in a couple extra pounds, but I don't need a double X. Really, it's just too much. Boom, goes into the yellow box. But that's not the stuff that's going down to these types of areas for this type of situation. So, like I said, talk to the charities that you trust. Talk to the charities that you believe in. See if they are combining with other charities so things are getting done. And that way you're not wasting everything or making a bottleneck. Now, if you remember last year for the hurricane down in Houston, there was a group of cowboys, my brother being one of them, who they got together and they started collecting up food for dogs, cats, horses, and they took a whole trailer load. And this is a 40-foot stock trailer. I mean, it's a lot of space. And they drove 1,200 miles all the way down to Houston, not only just to bring those supplies, but to get them to where they need to go and to wrangle up some of the horses and cattle and stuff that was, basically lost. I mean, people ran for their lives. Livestock didn't have anybody to look after them, and it took some cowboys to do it. Sometimes it worked out. I remember he was telling me, he got sent to go look at, check in on 60 head of cattle. They didn't make it. He got sent to go look in on some horses. Fortunately, they did. So that's another thing you do. The people that are getting together with that is Mark Eubank of Lotscapes, who is also a sponsor of the show, Lotscapes. Bruce Warner and Linda Warner of Champion Saddlery. They are getting together to start accepting donations. I would call first. I would talk to Champion Saddlery or Lotscapes before you start delivering stuff. But, what's a bag of dog food or a bag of cat food or a bag of horse food for that matter? It's going to go to places where they need it. And pets, there's a lot of pets down there in shelters, and they are going to be looking for people to at the very least, foster them. You might not be ready to adopt something, but they are to the point of overflowing. And in some cases, I've read articles where they're saying if they don't get some help, if they don't get some overcrowding relief, there are certain shelters that they don't want to, but they might have to start euthanizing animals. And I really don't want that to happen. I've already talked to some people that are saying, that down there trying to rescue people, and they're finding people who just left their dogs on the front porch and ran for it. That's awful, people. Your pet is part of your family. I don't much want to travel with both my cats, but if something tells me I have to get out, there's two cats that are going in a box, and they're going to just have to deal with it. 345-1140 is the phone number. We're going to have other people calling in, hopefully telling us what's going on down there, and I will take your calls at 345-1140. This is The Home Show on News Radio WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. We're here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon, taking your calls at 345-1140. Don't forget, you can go to WRVA.com, download podcast of the show, and if you don't have it in your phone already, or whatever device you use, get the radio.com app. It's pretty awesome, and you can listen to us wherever you want, wherever you go, all over the world. I got this message while I was during the break. This is from my friend Marla Gallagher. Now, Marla is a dear friend of the show, been around for a while. She and I have been associates. And last year, she hooked up with the Cajun Navy. Now, if you don't know who the Cajun Navy is, it is a bunch of men and women, mostly from Louisiana, Georgia, that area, that during Katrina, got together because there was just too much water and not enough people. And they got in their flat-bottom boats, mostly John boats, and went off and boom, started you know, rescuing people off their porches or whatever they were, wherever they were, and bringing them home. So now they are an informal group, but they do have a website. And last year they worked in Houston, and this year they are already in place, working around in the in North Carolina and South Carolina. So that's if you want to help out somebody, they can have a website. Just give them a call. All right, 345-1140. Jim Ryan, you're back, son.
I am back, yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a couple hours since we talked. How have things changed down there?
Well, I mean, the rain is coming and going. It stops and starts again. The wind is still an issue, but primarily outside of Wilmington to the north of here and also in South Carolina, it's still bad, very bad. The flooding is continuing to be a major issue. We've had something like a million people whose electricity has been knocked out since the storm came ashore. Seven people we know have died. Unfortunately, those numbers, both the number of power outages and the number of fatalities, will likely rise.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how much rain has fallen so far? Because I'm getting mixed numbers here.
It was something like, I know here at Wilmington at least, we've had at least 5 inches since the storm was coming ashore yesterday. These numbers are going to fluctuate, obviously, across the region. And that's one thing about it. You know, you've got storm totals in one area of the state, rain totals, and they'll be different just a few towns over as the spotty rain from the hurricane spins itself out. And so, in some areas you wouldn't expect to have flooding. Lumberton, for example, pretty far inland, they're having severe flooding today.
Now, that was going to be my question next is, like, in Virginia, we've had a very wet summer, so I was scared of the storm because it would just rip trees out of the ground. They got nothing to hold on to. What are you seeing more flooding, more trees coming down there?
Well, primarily flooding. And, of course, one is related to the other. Once the flooding happens and the roots are weakened, another wind comes along from the tropical storm and blows that tree down, either into power lines or onto somebody's house, tragically onto cars. And that's how so many of the fatalities happen. The one fatality from Tropical Storm Gordon a couple of weeks ago, Richard, was from a tree falling onto a house in Florida. We had two people who were killed here in Wilmington yesterday. A mother and an infant child when a tree fell on their house.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I tell you, I wept openly when I saw that. The pictures of the firefighters sitting there together and praying was just heartbreaking. So I've also been told that, like, hundreds of blood drives have been canceled down that way, so there is a real need for blood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there are interconnections, networks of blood banks, so if you were to give blood in Richmond, it wouldn't hurt at all in terms of boosting the supply if they can get it down here to the Carolinas. So, I mean, whatever you can do to help is what people here are recommending. Blood banks, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, whatever agency you can contact.
Well, I mean, and what is it they're going to be needing more than anything? Is this a food and water situation? Is it a clothing situation? You know, people are, I've been telling people, just donate money, but what about actual physical stuff?
Well, I mean, there's just no way to handle that stuff. Getting it here, first of all, is difficult. If you can do, you know, a funds transfer by text, certainly that's faster, easier, and more certain to get to the right place than a box of clothing or something. So, yeah, at some point down the road, I suspect they'll need some of those actual physical assets, but for now, it's cash that they need.
And now, Jim, are you going to stay there where you are? Are you going to follow this storm as it goes through the state and up through, well, it's going to hit, what, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia? Are you following along?
No, I'll stay here and kind of headquarter and then watch what's going on out there. We've got folks in South Carolina, folks up in the northern part of North Carolina to keep tabs on it, and we're not going to let the coverage go.
All right. Well, hey, if you need another reporter, you just call me up. I'll come down there in no time. I got a 4x4. It'll be fine.
Thanks, Richard.
Jim, thanks so much. All right. That was Jim Ryan from ABC Radio. He is, he's been down there right in the middle of the storm. And that was something I was going to get to. But about when I was talking to Marla, she was talking about the Cajun Navy, who is already on the move. And these are personal days. They're taking off time from work. It's their money that's going, putting gas in the trucks and gas in the boats. They do have websites you can find, Cajun Navy. Just put it into your search engine, and you can help donate to them. They are, you know, they're pulling more people out than anybody else right now. And it's because, well, they're pretty good at it at this point. Also been told that the Marines are on the scene and they are collecting some stuff. And these people, they're rescuing more than just people. They're rescuing pets also. But Marla sent me a text. She's been up for 24 hours. You think I don't sleep? Meet my friend Marla. Never sleeps. But one of the things she brought up and Jim just brought up is hundreds, plural, of blood drives have been canceled down in North and South Carolina, which that's bad enough as it is. You know, there's never enough blood. There's always somebody that's in need. And it's not hard to donate. It really isn't. I do it. My brother does it religiously. My brother Dominic, every 6 weeks, boom, he is there. He is right there every single time. I'm not as good at that as I should be, but I know this, I will be going in and donating. And I would tell you, go to Virginia Blood Service, American Red Cross, either one, it doesn't matter. You know, the blood goes into the system no matter what. And it's one of the best ways and easiest ways you can help out your fellow American that's in this storm. You go in. I've been doing it for a while. You go in, you fill out your forms. They're going to put you in front of a computer so you can answer a bunch of questions, and you have to do it every single time. And then they just strap you into a chair. And Jordan, have you ever donated blood? Have you ever been pricked?
I have never donated blood myself, but I have helped organize blood drives.
Okay,
in college.
So you can come with me over to the Virginia Blood Service after this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'll actually qualify to donate blood, but
and that is a thing.
Yeah,
that
there are disqualifiers based on, you know, your recreational activities and whatnot that can prevent you from being able to donate.
Also, people on certain medications, they can't donate. Like I said in the earlier show, I started donating when I was 17 because I wanted to. My dad donated, and I thought, I can do that too. And I donated a couple of times at 17 years old. You're old enough to do it. And they told me, oh, you have some kind of weird antibody in you, and you can't donate anymore. And it was heartbreaking. And I tried to appeal it. They said no. I tried to appeal it again. They said no. Years later, I started seeing a doctor here in Richmond, and part of what he did for the physical was he did complete blood work. Complete. All of it. And after the blood work, he comes back. He goes, congratulations, you're not going to believe this, but you are completely normal. And I'm like, okay, you think that's funny? I said, wait a minute. This service said that I was carrying this funky antibody, and that's why I can't donate blood. And he's like, it's not here. And so I went back to that service, and I said, look, my doctor says this does not exist. You guys have been, you know, blackballing me for years now. And I'm not bragging. I'm a neg, which we're like the second rarest out there. But for some weird reason, me and a bunch of members of my family are missing... They're actually missing a weird antibody, something usually you get as a very, very young child. And by missing that antibody, I was allowed to donate to kids that are 24 hours old. So they retested my blood, and lo and behold, I was good. It was a mistake. No harm, no foul. I mean, sure, they lost years of me donating, but there you have it. So, you know, it's a great way to help out people, and you got to understand there's going to be a lot of people injured, a lot of people hurt in this thing, and blood is going to be at a premium. So even if you've never done it before, you know, I don't want to see the needle, or you don't have to turn your head, it's fine. These people are really, really good at what they do. They do it every single day. So I mean, that thing is right into your arm so quick you don't even feel it, or you feel a little pinch, big deal. You know, and 30 minutes later, you got cookies and juice. Who doesn't like cookies and juice? Seriously. So help out if you can. And, yeah, donate to either Red Cross or Salvation Army, somebody that you can trust. They don't need your stuff. They need your cash. That's what's going to get this ball rolling and hopefully get them back together and get their lives going again soon. My name is Richard McCann, and this is The Home Show. Richard McCann on News Radio WRVA. We dodged a bullet, ladies and gentlemen. 345-1140. Tom in Richmond.
Hey, Richard, thanks for taking the call. I want to say something about donating blood. I was donating blood all the time. I was working on my 5-gallon pen. This was back in the late 90s. The Food and Drug Administration, one day, I'm filling out the questionnaire, and it says, have I ever served in the Army in Germany? And it says in the mid-80s. And I was like, wow, this is the first time I've ever answered yes on this questionnaire. And they kicked me to the curb. They said, I can't give blood anymore. Huge disappointment.
Wait a minute, you can't give blood ever?
I can't give blood never. Well, for right now, it's been more than a decade, because I ate beef that came from Great Britain. And that was back when mad cow disease was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know if I had any beef that may have been infected, since they cannot detect that in the blood. And they don't know if it can be transmitted in the blood. I could no longer donate blood. And I'm saying, donating blood is the easiest civic thing that a person can do.
Oh, Tom, real quick. I mean, I would go back and talk to them, because here's the thing. They know for a fact mad cow disease is transferred by spinal fluid and brain cranial fluid, not by blood.
Listen, I swing by. Usually, I go by a blood drive, and I'll go in and I'll see, have they changed it? Richard, in fact, they did change it. They tightened up the time period from back when I first initially was told, and I was given it was like a 3-year period, I think it was 3.5 years. They tightened it up to almost the exact time I was over there so that they could get more leeway. And, that comes down from the FDA. But every time I see Virginia Blood Services, which was by, who I usually went donating blood through, even doing the phoresis too, it's like, no, not yet, if they're going to ever change it. And because they just can't say, it's fine, we could get into the weeds talking about the pyrons and all that, but it's the easiest way that a person, civically minded individual, even if you're not, it's the easiest way to do something for the community, so to speak. It only takes, every 6 to 8 weeks, it only takes 45 minutes to an hour.
Look, Tom, I kid you not, okay, I was 17, I donated twice. They told me that I couldn't donate because I had antibodies for hepatitis, not ABC, whatever that is. And I said, this is ridiculous. Please retest me. It took me 20 years.
20 years.
20.
But you can give now. Bro.
I can do.
So.
Yeah, there was, they went back. They retested me. It took me a long time. I had to beg, borrow, and, cry about it. Finally, they said, we'll retest you. And it was a false positive back in the day. So, just keep it up. They're just trying to keep people safe, because if you remember think about what happened to our blood contamination, what happened as far as blood contamination in the 80s.
Sure. Right, exactly.
So
understood. Yeah, every time I go by, I would urge anybody out there, it's not that big a deal. I mean, most people handle it, aversion. I don't like getting stuck that much, but they make it so easy. These phlebotomists they have are so good. Barely, it's like a mosquito bite. That's how good they are, as far as, since they do it so many times, that it's so easy. It's a great way to, it's a great civic duty.
My doctor had a girl, and I swear, she could slide that thing in with, like, silk, and you never even felt it.
Right, yeah.
Tom, keep up the good fight, my friend.
Righto, thanks.
Bye. 345-1140. Lee in Chesterfield.
How's it going this morning?
Quite well, sir. We dodged the bullet, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We're very lucky on that one.
Yes, we are. So what can I do for you?
I'm in the same boat as your last caller. I'm an Air Force veteran. Early 80s, I was stationed in England for 2 years. And after donating over a gallon of blood, I became part of their banned list because of the mad cow disease.
Well, like I said to Tom, I mean, the best thing, they're just trying to keep the blood supply safe. And I mean, right. I think that really does. It goes back to the 80s, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you think about it, how many people came out with HIV because of blood donation?
Right.
So
yeah, they can donate blood now, and we can't.
I don't know that for sure, so I can't say that. You know, I'd have to double check my on there. But like I said, things do change. I went 20 years without being able to donate. And now, after all, you know, I kept going back, saying, retest me. Finally, they tested me again and said, oh, no, you're okay. So all I can tell you, Lee, is, you know, keep up with it and keep reminding them I still want to donate, and eventually I'm sure it'll clear up.
I hope so.
I do, too.
Because I never get any answers on what the downside is for me.
I don't think there is a downside for you. It's a downside for somebody else. Trust me.
Hey, I hope
don't
so.
Worry. If you get mad cow disease, we'll all know it. We'll say, hey, look, there's Lee.
Yeah.
He's acting like one of those mad cows. What the heck? He's stumbling. Oh, he's drunk. That's okay. He doesn't have mad cow disease. Thank you, Lee.
Have a good weekend.
That's funny. But the mad cow disease exists in the spinal fluid. So that's where the real problem was. That's why, you know, of cows and pigs and everything, you don't eat the spine. Did you know that? That's where that stuff resides. Too many diseases in the spinal fluids and stuff. Ugh, just awful. Man, did I open up a can of worms? I might have. It's entirely possible. John in Chesterfield.
Hi, I have the same situation as Lee was in. I was in London from 85 to 88, and I just went to Blood VA and sent him an email, and yeah, we're still on the banned list for BSE, bovine spongiform encephalitis.
How much beef did you guys eat over there?
It didn't matter. It didn't matter because we got some through the local markets. We also went to the commissaries a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So just a matter of one, you know, tainted forever. We had a the thing that transmits is called a prion. Mm-hmm. It's even smaller than a virus, and it's just insidious. And there's no test. It's just the young lady who I emailed and talked to on the phone said you're screwed.
That's
she didn't say it that way. She said you know, you're just not going to. And I can be able to donate. And I had also was in a situation where I gave platelets up to 5 gallons of that.
Wow.
So I'd been doing it for a long time until we got put on the do not fly list.
Well, John, at least, though, there's still ways for you to support them. And that's what's important.
I do. I do. Anyway.
I appreciate your service, sir.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Bye. Wow, I didn't mean for that to go that way, but I guess that, like I said, there's certain things they do have to watch out for. I mean, if, you know, certain antibodies are, when they said no to me, the reason was they said, you have this antibody. I'm like, what antibody? I was never sick. Well, they said never, you wouldn't have been. But in certain cases, if you donate to certain people, it could mutate and they could get sick. And I accepted it for a while. And then I just kept going back until at the very least they tested me. Now, as far as the mad cow disease, I don't know if there is a test for it, and they say there isn't. So you know what? It's better for a lot of people to stay healthy than a few people being able to donate. I'm gonna stand by that. Too many people got sick back in the 80s, and I think most of you remember the 80s. I know I do. I was a young man, but there was this terrifying thing about blood transfusions. I mean, look at Arthur Ashe, right? Blood transfusion. There you go. But if you can donate, please do. Bill in New Kent.
All right, Richard. Thanks for taking my call. You remember I got those home show tickets for me and my kid from you.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I was calling not to talk about the blood thing, but to point out a couple of things that, you know, say you don't have a generator. Well, you know, I've got a good 1,000-watt, you know, power inverter that I don't keep hooked up to my truck, but I can use it anytime I want. It's good to charge your battery, maybe even a battery-operated chainsaw. But something else is every man should own a decent quality chainsaw with an extra blade and at least have some of that pre-mixed non-ethanol gas and keep it on hand. And it's just those simple things. You'd want to be able to cut yourself out of a driveway or cut that tree that might fall through your window. And, you know, we just dodged a big blow because people should realize that Willoughby Spit was pretty much formed in one storm. And that's the power of God. So we got lucky again, and we're really 150 years overdue for a good storm.
I tell you what, I realized I got to take my Poland in. I've only used it like 3 times, but that was every bit of 7 years ago. And I live in the city. What do I know? Uh-huh. You know, the last I bought it because trees fell during a hurricane. It's been in storage. A buddy of mine used it, but it's been a couple of years. And yeah, it Monday or Tuesday, it's going in to get reworked. Are you still there, Bill? I lost Bill. 345-1140. Pete in Richmond.
Yeah, and with a house in Moorhead City. How are you this morning?
Oh!
We got 20 inches of rain and 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Oh!
When I go down to look at the house, which was built in the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
how can I know about water damage in the wall that I can't see, where there might have been a leak?
From, like, the driving rain?
Yes, yes.
You'll see it. you'll know it's there because that wall will be squishy. I mean, fortunately, like you said, it's built in the last 3 years. Well, how good a roof did they put on it?
Metal roof.
Excellent.
Except that the ridge cap on half of it blew off, but they butted the plywood up top and put black paper. So there's no vent. It was not a vent.
It was just a cap.
Yes.
Well, with any luck, any water that did blow in to that opening rolled underneath of the metal across the tar paper. So hopefully that won't be a problem. I would take some tarps with me just in case.
Right.
And I mean,
right.
A good quality tarp, not something cheap. Why? Don't laugh. I had a lady call during the early show. I said, because if roof damage down there, you have insurance, I'm sure, but how long is it going to take a roofer to get there?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And a cheap tarp is just that, a cheap tarp. Say you get down there and you don't need the really good tarp, your neighbor might, or just put it in storage, because guess what? You're going to get another storm someday.
And how about, like, up under the eaves? In the soffit, vents where water might have blown in.
Again, all you can do is get in there and start poking around with a flashlight. And see if you see anything wet, you want to get the insulation out of there.
Okay.
I would also crank the AC to the moon.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Jess, honey, what do you think? It's 55 degrees in here. Why are you chattering? but that will help get rid of the moisture inside of the house. I mean, it's a 3-year-old house. I'm thinking, I'm hoping, I'm praying. It was designed for something like this to happen. I mean, let's face it, they're building houses. You're building houses right next to the water. It going to get hit at some point. How big are your dunes in front of your place?
Well, we're on the sound side, but the sound actually got hit harder than what the ocean front did.
Mm.
It's just strange how that happened. But we've got Anderson Windows, excellent builder. It's a tight house, but, you know, water, it finds a way.
I was talking to somebody the other day about building a house on the water, and I told him I'd build one of those concrete and styrofoam houses. That's what I would, if I was going to build on the water, that's what I would build, with pylons that go down 20 feet. And
Right.
I'm serious. I don't play around. I didn't say if I'm going to build something, I'm going to build it right.
We're seeing that in a lot of natural materials rather than, say, hardy plank, where if you penetrate the envelope, the membrane, then you got a mess. So,
I mean, take some shovels and a wheelbarrow, and you're going to need some push brooms because you probably have a lot of sand inundation underneath your place. How far up on in the air are you?
We're about 10 feet higher. We're in a high point on the sound on the mainland side. We're second row, so we overlook the water. I did encapsulate underneath, so all the vents are blocked up. I got a dehumidifier going under there. I've got a dehumidifier that goes normally in the house, but I'm going to bring a second one down there. And Richard, I followed your advice, buddy. I did all the things you told me to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear somebody's listening to me. Honey, you hear that? Jordan doesn't even listen to me at this point.
When I head to the store, I will not buy one of those 1 mil plastic sheets.
No.
I'll go for the heavy stuff.
Yeah, and get yourself some good nylon rope or some bungee cords to tie it down. I mean, there's two more storms out there in the ocean. Neither one of them formed up into anything tight, but they're there. And this season doesn't end until November. So,
right.
And with any luck, you survived okay. Do you have shutters?
I will.
Do you have shutters on your house?
Yep, got Bahama shutters, closed all them, you know, so took all the precautions you told me to do. So I will report back, my friend, and let you know how we did.
All right, great, because you know what? I've never been to the Outer Banks.
Well, we're in Moorhead, which is below the Outer Banks, and Moorhead took the brunt of the storm. So we'll see.
All right, well, Pete, all right. Pete, may the home improvement gods go with you.
That's all I need, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All
bye. Got some messages from my buddy David. David wrote in, the guy is right. I served in Army in Germany in 1986 to 87. Cannot give blood. All service members that served in Germany, England, and Italy in the mid-80s. That sucks. And Gary wrote in, his mad cow story is the same as mine. So I guess, though, you know, that's still a pretty small group. Okay. Look, I know I got, if you say, well, Richard, five people called in. Well, that's five people. But if you didn't serve in the military in Europe in between 86 and 87, our gentleman that called in was dead right. It's the simplest, easiest thing you can do to give back to the community is donate blood. And for those of you who are squeamish, I'm sorry. But look at it this way. It's practice because we're all going to get older. Even me. And at some point, somebody's going to stick us with a needle for something. And it's going to happen. So why not just get a little practice in there? You know, that way you've got to give the old try to help people out. Because what's happening down in South and North Carolina, hundreds of blood drives were just canceled. Outright, they're trying to keep people off the roads. When this show is over, my first phone call is to my sister. She's in Raleigh. Second call is going to be my buddy who lives in Charlotte. They've been preparing since beginning of last week. And on Monday, when I talked to my sister, she was saying she couldn't find a case of water anywhere. Nothing, nowhere, not a zip, zero, zilch. But I told her, I was like, aren't you on county water? And I guess in her area, they can lose power bad enough that it actually kills the water pumping stations. Now, we've never had that here. Not that I remember. I mean, I grew up on a well, and if we lose power, we lose water. That's just a thing. But, you know, being in the city itself, I've gone through plenty of storms. I've lost power plenty of times, and never have I lost water. Though, I'll be honest, if that storm was heading right towards us, I probably would have gone out and grabbed something, not sure what, but I would have been prepared as far as water is concerned. More than anything, I would have filled the bathtub, just in case. Now, I can always find clean water to drink, but try flushing a toilet using gallons, jugs of water, doesn't work. Don't care, even if it's a low flush toilet, doesn't work. It's just, too much. When we get back, more of your calls at 345-1140. That's 345-1140. Those of you who have houses out there in the storm, give me a call. I want to hear what's going on the home show. Richard McCann on News Radio, WRVA. It's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you can take the home show wherever you go. Hey, real quick, this was given to me by Mr. Gary Powell, who keeps his finger right on the pulse of the news. And like we don't have enough to worry about, right? Okay, here we go. Bob Evans Farms announced a limited voluntary Class 2 recall of 46,734 pounds of maple sausage links and brown sugar and honey sausage links, products that have been contaminated with an extraneous material, specifically pieces of clear, hard plastic. Bob Evans Farms received three complaints about potential small plastic pieces in the maple sausage links products and moved quickly to launch a thorough internal investigation and isolated the products to a single manufacturing run made on one day, August 1, 2018. The follow-up subjects are subject to recall. 12-ounce overwrap trays labeled Bob Evans Maple Pork Sausage Links. These products contain a use date of August 16th, 2018 or August 19th, 2018, code 8213. So if you have any of those or the Bob Evans honey sugar, brown sugar and honey. How much, Jordan, how much stuff do you need to put in sausage? It's just, it's sausage.
Yeah.
You cook the sausage. If you want syrup, you put syrup on it. Who puts it in it?
I don't know.
Kind of blasphemous.
Yeah.
Not good. No. Anyway. These products contain a use by date of October 16, 2018, and lock code of 8213. So if you have the Bob Evans sausage in your fridge, take it back to where you got it. And there you go. I don't even eat. You know what I use for breakfast sausage? Big old fat Italian sausage. That's my go-to. I know I should be more of a country boy, but I'm really not. All right, Bernie called back during the break. And he asked if I would be kind enough to give some kind of idea of what is the difference between a good tarp and a bad tarp, because he's getting down there, and I told him to take a good one with him. Pretty simple. It's the thickness. It's how many mils is the existing tarp? How tightly woven is it? You can tell by just the way they feel. If they feel really flimsy and thin, understand, that's a tarp you use to, I don't know, put down underneath a tent for once and never use it again. You're going to spend quite a bit of money on a really good, thick, heavy tarp, something that has good brass eyes on it, everything that is double-stitched if it can, because what's going to happen for these people that go down there, if they have roof damage, which is entirely possible, okay? Shingles, 100 plus mile per hour winds. Yeah, it's damage waiting to happen. What you need, you're going to end up doing is they're going to end up tarping this roof. I was talking to some of my roofing buddies earlier this week. I know roofers that just, they shut down. This last week, they shut down because they didn't want to start a job that they couldn't finish in time for the storm. Remember last Monday, they were saying that this thing was going to hit. It's coming right for us. And that's why I canceled. We pushed off. We didn't cancel. We did not cancel our wedding. We just pushed it back 2 weeks. On the 29th, I'm getting married. On the 2nd, I'm leaving. And if everything goes to plan, that following weekend, we're going to have a best of show. And one of the shows is going to be hosted by Mr. Matt Paxton. At least that's what he said. He said he would cover for me. Getting him on the phone, he's a busy guy. I dig that. But with any luck, that's what's going to happen in a couple of weeks. But these guys, they shut down everything because they were saying the storm was going to hit right into us. And I got nervous. I got very nervous. I thought, surely. I figured my Saturday commute into the station would have been me just fighting winds and rain. Yeah, and we were prepared here at the station. Jordan, did they contact you about any emergency work over the possibility?
No, I think they just kind of figured we'd be here anyway, so.
Well, I mean, see, I was told they contacted me and wondered if necessary, if I would do Thursday overnight into Friday morning. And I told them you and I would have no problem with that whatsoever.
Hey, well, if you'd have called me on Wednesday or Thursday morning and been like, hey, we're doing overnight, I'd have been like, okay, I guess. I'm doing it for the money.
You're supposed to do it for the love and respect you have for your host.
Yes, yes, that too. And, of course, for the listeners, but...
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. I just exude it, right?
That's it, dripping out of every pore. But, you know, and that's the thing I will say about this station. In all the years I've been here, I got to admit, when it comes to things like storms, people jump in, all hands on deck. Everybody's here because we're one of the ways that information gets out. When the power goes out, the radio still works, right? Your phone might die. Last night, we lost power. We lost power to the entire neighborhood of Fulton Hill and all of Rockets Landing. It was just done. And, I mean, it was for hours upon hours. And my biggest fear at the time was, I have to get up, and my alarm is my cell phone. And what I did, and Boyd, I see you, but I'm tight on time. What I did was, one, I have my old cell phone, which I kept charged, just for doing things like an alarm clock. And the other thing I did was, remember last week I talked about battery packs to recharge your cell phone? I bought one. A couple of years ago, I bought one. And I keep it in my tool bag. Last night, I had about a 50% charge, and I'll admit the new phone does pretty well. I plugged it into the wall, and even though I didn't have any power, but I had that battery pack with me. Because if the power didn't come back on, as soon as I woke up at 2 o'clock, I was going to plug that thing in. So we survived. It was okay. We were out without power for like 6 hours. This is the Home Show, WRVA. Lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning. Richard McCann, thunder. News Radio, WRVA. Jordan, I would have to question your choice on that bumper in particular.
I didn't choose the song.
Okay. I thought you were in control of everything.
There's just a button, and I press the button, and it plays.
I press button. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, he's like a little brother to me. I swear to God. Boyd in Richmond.
Hi, Richard. Hey, I just wanted to share a short little story with you. On Thursday, after listening to Andrew Frieden all day tell us that the storm wasn't going to be as bad as we thought, I went back to doing my regular errands, and driving on Broad Street, up near Office Max and Aldi and Home Depot, it's sort of near West End Henrico.
That's my Aldi. I love that place.
Yeah, well, I glanced in, and there was a virtual armada of power repair trucks, 50 of them. And as fascinated as I am with big machines doing big jobs, I pulled in and had to find out what was going on. And all the trucks said Alliance. And the Alliance was from Quincy, Massachusetts to Port Davies, Florida. So I got out of my car and wandered in among all these bear-sized men and a lot of tobacco spittle, and I started asking, what's going on here? And I got this story. The guy was nice to me because I had on a Red Sox hat, and he was from Massachusetts, so he let me find out. But he said, let me take you over to Fleet Command. And these guys were all IBEW power repairmen who worked for other companies but were off-duty. And Alliance is a big company that steps in emergencies, and they were hired by Duke Power, and they convene in Richmond because it's big enough to provide all the supplies and has access to the roads that branch off to North Carolina. And every one of these trucks, when they got summoned, they went to Fleet Command. They had a computer checkup of the readiness of the truck to meet the needs. They stocked up the truck with water and power bars and snacks and told the guys their destination, and off they went to various places they were needed in North Carolina. And the whole shebang was over and done with in about 2 hours. And, you know, you emphasize getting ready so much. I thought you'd like hearing how the big power companies get ready to back up their needs. It was absolutely fascinating. I mean, the amount of activity just all of a sudden convening right there on Broad Street. Those guys came in and off they went.
And they say that superheroes don't exist.
Well, you know, one of the people at the fleet command said these guys love it because there's good pay. It's at a higher rate, and they get the feeling of doing something good. And it was just very interesting to me. I could have spent longer there, but the trucks all left.
Yeah, they were done with you. They had to go to work.
Yep.
Boyd, I appreciate the story. Thank you so much.
All right. Keep up the good work on the show. I enjoy it. Say hi to Max. He's always listening.
Ah, Max. Thank you. 345-1140. Joel in Hanover.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Joel.
Good. I'm a board-certified master arborist, and I want to make a couple of comments about the trees and the safety or lack of following the storm, and also not just windstorms and hurricanes, but also ice storms and sudden wind drafts,
okay,
Downdrafts and wind shears. Folks have to be careful of what's termed partial failures, because after the storm, even though the tree may not have uprooted, it could be unsafe or become unsafe because of the soil erosion underneath it.
Sure.
And it doesn't hurt to have a certified arborist come out and look at your trees to consider the safety. And we've actually got an assessment now by International Society of Arborists called Tree Risk Assessment Qualified. And the dynamics of tree assessment is really scientific, based on angles and we'll say species and topography and hydrology and all of the natural sciences that contribute to the growth of the plant. And partial failures is something where a plant whole or part of a plant doesn't fail right during the storm, but as time continues, it becomes less safe because of the added growth.
I tell you what,
and
Joel,
those are things
Joel,
that people need to keep in mind.
Joel, I've got two trees sitting right next to my house, these small maple trees, and
uh-huh,
both of them.
And the ginkgo, yes.
Yeah, and, okay, and the ginkgo. The ginkgo I'm not worried about. It's going to be fine. Those other two, they're cracked in the center, and I was expecting them to go over.
Well, that's where a cable could have prevented that crack. Different things can be done for, it's called remedial action on the trees, but that's where an arborist could advise folks, because I've been doing this a long time, and it's fascinating to me how people disregard the fact that we can work on trees and make them more safe. And my last point being is by 2050, they're saying that 80% of the world's population will be in urban areas, and the close proximity to larger trees and the population is increasing, because you made a comment, you live in the city, you don't need a saw. Well, that's where you're more likely to be struck by a tree or be injured by it or suffer property damage.
Now here's a quick question for you, Joel, since you're an arborist and I got you on the air. My mother planted a peach tree in my backyard, okay? And earlier in this year, that thing was covered, I mean thick, with peaches. And then they all shriveled and died. Is that because there was just too much rain this year?
No. There's a fungus. It's mummification of the fruit. And it actually started when the fruit was just being formed. That's when the... I want to say a fungus. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it is a fungus and not a bacteria that causes that problem, a mummification. And you need to spray that just after petal drop, when the petals are just beginning to fall, and then you can take care of it. Now, you're in the city. I'd contact the county agent, A&R agent, Brittany Council is her name, and she can give you the exact recommendation for what to spray on it.
All right, I'll do it. Thank you for calling in, Joel.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And, whew, Tony in New Kent.
Hi. Listen, for people that want to give blood, If you don't weigh 100 pounds, don't tie up traffic beating yourself down there. I cannot give blood because I have a weight problem. I can't make it to 90 pounds. I make it, and then it falls back.
So what you're saying is you're a supermodel.
90 pounds, and they won't take my blood.
Because you'd pass out on the table.
I pass out when I see a needle.
Oh,
baby.
Stop that. There's nobody. Everybody. Some of the toughest people on the planet listen to this show. They're not scared of a needle. But, I mean, it's nice that you're sitting there bragging that you're a supermodel. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I'm an 80-year-old supermodel. I'm a CNA,
yeah.
And I've retired 3 times, but people call me, and I can't resist. So, but I never went beyond CNA because of needles.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, Tony, I got people backed up, but thank you for letting me know that.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for your show.
Ah, it's not a big deal. BC.
Yes. Congratulations. On your wedding coming up.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. Okay. Sorry you got ran out, but anyhow, things happen.
No. Better safe than sorry. Always better safe than sorry. And look, if she had, think about this. Would you want to marry a woman that said, I don't care if it's raining or a hurricane or what, I'm getting married. No, she's like, this makes sense. We'll be good. And that's part of the reason I love her.
There you go. Well, good luck to you. I got a question. I knocked a concrete flower plant. This thing is about 1 3/4 inches thick, one of these fancy ones. I want to put it back together. I've got some Gorilla heavy-duty construction adhesive. Okay, supposed to be the best on the planet, as you just said, planet. Mm-hmm. And I also got some Lowe's, some SIKA, is Sika Bonds, Pro Select. I want to know what's the best to put on it to hold it together.
All right.
Bond concrete.
BC, here's a story, and it's true. At Costa McCann Volume Dose, which I do not own anymore, I had brick steps that had been laminated onto concrete stairs. All right. And as I'm walking down the stairs one day, like 6 of the bricks still connected to each other came loose and flipped off of the existing concrete.
Ooh.
I know, not good, right? It's been there forever, but they broke off.
Right.
I went into the house, came outside with a broom, brushed off any dirt and moisture, and then I took Gorilla Glue and just laid down the heaviest beads you've ever seen, and I glued my front steps back together with Gorilla Glue.
And they took care of it.
It lasted for the next two years that I was there.
Well, great.
What I would do with your situation is I would Gorilla Glue it together, but you're going to also have to put something around it to hold its shape while that glue cures, because that stuff expands.
Right.
And it expands everywhere. You don't want it pushing the pieces apart. I would wrap it up I'd probably just take some duct tape. Once you got it together, duct tape it together and let it sit. And that way, as it cures, it won't blow itself apart.
Yeah, okay. It broke pretty even, you know, so.
Well, that's what's important. I mean, if it's broke, how many pieces? 2, 3?
Got 2 pieces out. Yeah,
Gorilla Glue should do it just fine. And then once you got it all put back together, go ahead and get. I haven't tried it yet, but I really am dying to try that spray stuff in a can. What's that called, Jordan? The infomercial, the spray black.
Oh, the like Flex Seal.
Flex Seal, yeah. I'd Flex Seal the inside of that thing like nobody's business.
Okay, all right. So it's Flex Steel.
Seal.
Great. Okay, I'll give it a whirl and see what happens to it. And hope that holds. I'm going to plan on putting it together, leave it sitting inside a building, and tape it together. Let it last, stay for about a week.
Yeah.
Now, should I run should I spread the Gorilla Glue or just run a couple of beads down on one in each side and one in the middle? Because it's about 1 3/4 inch thick.
I'm going to go a nice heavy bead right down the center of it. That stuff's going to expand and puff out around the edges.
So just put one down the center, just one bead.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you much, Richard.
All right, BC.
Good luck to you. Thank you.
This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Jordan, if you don't mind, sir, I think I may very well be in need of a safe space.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, okay, so if somebody calls you fat, that's body shaming, right?
That is correct.
And if they don't like your clothes, I guess that's status shaming of some type?
Go on.
Okay. I've been handy shamed.
Handy shame. People, that's a new one.
Well, I'm a handy guy. I can do, I got skills, and I am being handy shamed by Blair. Here's what he wrote. Come on, Richard, you can tune up your own chainsaw. A YouTube video, 15 minutes, $20. New spark plugs, fuel, and air filter. Done. It's the Scottish thing to do, lad. I think I've been shamed for not trying to do it myself.
Don't be such a snowflake.
Okay.
Grow up.
Fine.
Take it on the chin.
I know nothing about small engine repair, but I really should learn. I need a safe space. Oh, me. All right, folks. 345-1140 is the phone number. This is the end of it. So if you want to get in, it is time to do it now. I'll remind you, if you missed any of the show, don't worry. You can go to WRVA.com, click on my smirking face, and download podcasts of the show. You can also go to iTunes and Google Play. Just type in The Home Show with Richard McCann. That's how you do it. Now, look, this storm, I know, it missed us. We are luckier and more blessed than you can possibly imagine. But our brothers and sisters down south, they're not so lucky, and this is going to be going on for a while. They're talking about it's going to continue to rain in the Carolinas through Monday, possibly Tuesday, and it's still going to move up around our boys in Tennessee and Kentucky, right into West Virginia and Pennsylvania, which also, let's remember, they've been having flooding like crazy all year. So what can you do? How can you help? Because I know you want to. One, volunteer your time. There's plenty of groups out there that are looking for help, and an extra pair of hands never hurt anything. The second thing I would suggest, please, if you can, donate money to the groups that you believe in. Red Cross and Salvation Army are amazing at this. They do it every single day. They are helping somebody somewhere. They have the infrastructure in place to not just get things to people where they need them to be gotten, but to get them in the first place. It's actually easier for them to purchase this stuff and ship it than it is to try to store it. Three, do not start wrapping up old clothes and bed linens and, oh, look, there's an old can of salmon back here in the back of the pantry. It's not going to help anybody. In fact, if anything, it's just going to cause more problems down the road, because who knows what people need and where that will go. I can begin to tell you, and you can go online and see where people with good intentions have actually caused more problems than they did. Let me take a last call. 345-1140. Jim in Hopewell.
Hey, Mr. McCann, how you doing?
I'm good,
hey,
Jim.
Look, I got a question on my AC unit.
Okay.
Been having a problem probably the last 3 or 4 years. Hottest time of the day, gets real hot in the house. System's been checked, double checked, triple checked. It's a train. They've even had engineers on the phone from the factory trying to figure out what's going on. One thing I did different this year is I insulated my duct. Again, it's a 1970 Rancher. It's got the return to the ceiling. Ductwork runs in the attic.
Right.
So I re-insulated that, and it's a difference. It's a lot better, but it's still kind of warm in one part of the house. It gets up to as high as 75, no matter what I set the thermostat on.
Okay.
And it's blowing cold air.
Okay.
But I do feel a difference when I insulated the duct in the attic.
All right. First of all, I'm glad you insulated the duct, because that would have been my first suggestion. Two, have you considered adding insulation to your attic?
Well, I checked my insulation, and it's got about 5 to 6 inches.
Yeah, when it should be about 24.
Okay.
All right.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot thicker than you think.
It's only part of the house that stays warm.
Well, I mean, one, you can never go wrong insulating, and it's cheap. You know, if you buy enough bags, they'll actually let you borrow the blower for free. So,
really?
Yeah. And if you have to rent it, who cares? I mean, it's blown insulation. Big deal.
Yeah.
The other thing you probably need to do is have somebody come in that knows what they're doing and balance the system, meaning they're going to ratchet some vents back and they're going to open other ones up farther. You might even want to put baffles up in the attic itself. But
well, they come in and they went over the system. They replaced pretty much everything on the system except the compressor because everything was under warranty.
Good. Now, I think what you really need to do is look into re-insulating your attic. And what do your windows look like?
They're pretty good storm windows. They're probably going about 15 years. So I had the single pane. We had to glaze them and all that stuff. So I got rid of those and got actually storm windows put in.
All right. So that's where I'd start. Get some insulation up in that attic. And how's it? Hey, how's your insulation under the house?
They actually come in. It's actually pretty good. I actually went under the house. I put a vapor barrier down, so the insulation was real good under the house, too.
Okay, we'll see. Then there you go. Put some insulation upstairs and see if that doesn't help.
All right, I'll try that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. All right. That was an easy one. All right, back to what I was saying. If you want to help, there are plenty of ways to do it. One, donating time. Definitely always a bonus. You know, anything you can do, warm bodies, extra sets of hands, always a good thing. Two, donate cash. You know, they don't need your stuff. They need your money. These groups, that's all they do. But I'm going to remind you, talk to the people that you're donating to. Find out how much of your money is actually going to go to the effort and how much goes in people's pockets. I want to remind you also, there are going to be scam artists coming out of the woodwork. Your phone's going to ring. It's going to be people saying, I'm trying to raise money for Hurricane Florence relief. Can you help me? No. Charities don't call up people. And if they do, I find it to be a scam or too much of the money is going to the charity. If people want to correct me on that, fine. I'm not changing my mind on it. And another thing you're going to see, oh, I hate this. It's going to happen in my neighborhood. People are going to start coming to your door. And they're going to say, hey, we're collecting money for Hurricane Florence. They're going to, no, thank you. But no, if I can't get a receipt, I'm not giving you anything. Got it? Good. All right. Now, people, I'd like to remind you to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, there's several different really good articles on how to prepare for some of these storms, and I like them a great deal. Also, there's links to my new podcast, Beer with Vets. We're going to be recording a new episode this week. I'm pretty excited about that. If you're wondering what it is, I sit down with a vet. We have a few beers, and we talk stories. It's a good time. If you want to email me, it's richardmccann@hotmail.com. If you need a home inspection or a realtor, why not give me a shot? I'll do everything I can to make sure your world is better for you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!